So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Verse 19. So you please repeat after me. Bhumau nidhaya tam gopim. Vishwamita barapiditam. Mahapurusham adadyam. Jagatam asakarmasum. Translation and explanation from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother Yasoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayana. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the Brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayana, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Purport. Mother Yasoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things and that Krishna rests within everything. Matstani sarvabhutani. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Mayatatam midam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Krishna is everywhere, is in impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. Nonetheless, nachaham tishu avastita. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yashoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety and call the Brahmanas to counteract the situation. To sing Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, so I'm going to do it now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Vasudevaya. So first of all, would like to thank all the devotees from Chopati for inviting us, and of course Radhanath Swami, who personally invited us to come and visit. I came here the first time some few years ago, and I must thank all of you for the wonderful time that we had, for the wonderful hospitality, and making us feel really at home, so much so that we are actually thinking of maybe getting a little cottage at the farm and spend some more time. So at least we have the resolution that next year we will come and stay at the farm at least for 3 weeks and maybe 1 week here. So thank you very much for making us feel like this. Now we come from a completely other part of the world, and there we hear all the time about how Chopati is a good example for the whole world. So not just for us, but for the whole world it's a good example. So yesterday when I was asked to talk to the community there, I always also told them, even though I can understand sometimes that maybe their life there seems to be difficult, sometimes the weather is so hot, and then the heavy rain, and all these difficulties, still they shouldn't think that they are left on their own, because also them and yourself here in Chopati, you are actually giving a good example for everybody in the world to see. So you have a very great responsibility to lead the way for the future. This year we had a GBC meeting with the ILS. I'm sure you all heard about it. Those who didn't go there, I recommend in 2014. There will be again a meeting there. All those who didn't make it this year, I recommend for you to go there because it really gives a wonderful overview on how this movement is actually developing and preparing for the future, because you are the future of this movement. Us, we may have been the pioneers, but you will be the successors. So this is a very great responsibility in your lap, and I can see that you are in the best way to lead the way for the future. And I think I can say as a leader today that I can leave this world rested assured that you will do a good job in the future. You are doing a good job now, and you will do even a better one in the future when you will grow and you mature and have gathered more experience. And with the blessings of all the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you will be the future of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I would like to take the opportunity today to thank you very much for this. Hare Krishna. So to come back to the text today, this is a very wonderful text because here two main aspects of the Lord are being shown side by side. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how Mother Yasoda could not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all things. This is the one aspect. And the other aspect, Srila Prabhupada is talking about how Mother Yasoda is simply concerned about her child, Krishna, who she, as her mother, has great feelings and is always very occupied and very concerned about his welfare. Because if she didn't prepare nice prasadam in the kitchen for him to eat, he may feel very hungry, and it says sometimes she's so worried that she may think that if he doesn't eat, he may die of hunger. Of course, this is for us a wonder. How is it that Mother Yasoda, who is taking care of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person, thinks that he will die of hunger? And we know, we who are just very simple devotees, we have learned that God never dies. He never is born and never dies. So how is it that Mother Yasoda, the mother of God, thinks that he will die of hunger, or that he will die because this demon that we are talking about today, Trinavarta, will carry him away and kill him? So this is the wonderful illusion called Yoga Maya, that all the devotees of God are subjected to when they begin to understand that God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the maintainer, the creator, and the annihilator of all things. Nothing exists beyond, above him. Just this one notion to think that maybe something could exist that would be equal or above God would take his position of God away. This would mean because the position of God is a unique position that is reserved to God. There is no other God beside that is equal or even above him. If there would be such a thing, then his position of God will be annihilated. So, on one side, as a devotee, and we are all more or less beginners, we are coming from the world, and the world is full of speculations, philosophical speculations, mental speculations. And when we progress a little bit in the process of speculation, eventually we are asking the question of God. Is there a God or is there no God? So yesterday I was asked one of these questions, and I replied that how I asked the question of God. I remember I was 12 years old, and my father took me to the desert at that time, which was quite an adventure already then. And while my father was busy doing his job, he was an architect, so he was building villages and wells and schools and hospitals and things like that. I was left to myself in the heat, and the question came to me, and I was looking up at the sky, and I was saying, God, the whole world talks about you. All the big philosophers in the West, at least we are with Kant and Descartes, and you name them all. And all of them, they are talking about you. They're writing big, big books about you. They are very famous for talking about you. But none of them is able to actually tell me where you are, where you live, how you look like, what you do all day, and if you exist, then I should be able to see you. I should be able to understand what you are doing. If you are just an idea that everybody is speculating upon, then this is just a creation of our own mind. But otherwise, if you, as God, as the person that everybody, all religions and all philosophers are talking about, then I want to see you. So I was 12 years old at that time. And it took another 12 long years before I actually, the first time, got in touch with the devotees. So this is not just a cheap thing that happens just because we decide we wanted to see God, therefore he's going to show himself. So it took another very long 12 years, and amongst these 12 years, I also took a trip in India for 2 years as a young girl by myself walking around India looking for God. And as I said also yesterday, if you don't have any guidance by a spiritual leader, who is going to be God? Is it going to be Hanuman? A monkey god? Very difficult to understand, especially for the West. Is it going to be Ganesh, an elephant god? Also very difficult to understand. Is it going to be Shiva? Well, some, they think, yes, it's Shiva. All the hippies, they think maybe they can be God because Shiva is maybe God. Of course, I also saw Krishna, the beautiful cowherd, blue cowherd boy, but how can, without guidance, how can we believe that this can be God, just a person that looks just like you and me with two arms and two legs and a blue color? Why blue? You know, so many questions. So after 2 years of wandering around and trying to find answers and asking so many questions but not really getting any answers because nobody really can give you an answer, I returned quite disappointed. And I came to the conclusion, actually, there is no God. Everybody is inventing some kind of a God because he feels he needs that. But there is not. So after some time, eventually I did a lot of yoga. I was talking, I forgot your name, Marika? Satrici? Yeah, okay, Marika yesterday. And I was telling her that I also was engaged in doing very heavy yoga. And my mother was wondering, oh my God, what kind of a daughter do I have? First of all, she leaves home and goes to India for 2 years by herself. Then she comes back and the only thing she does is stand on her head for 12 hours a day, no stop, and 3 months in a row, no stop. So I have this crazy girl. And then eventually, someone took me to the temple. And at the entry of the temple, there was this picture of Sadbuja. You all know Sadbuja, Krishna, Ramachandra, Lord Chaitanya. And the verse underneath was, I am the creator, the maintainer, and the annihilator of all things. Give up all sorts of the religions and surrender unto me. I will save you from all sinful activities. So this was quite a good proposal, because by then I was about 24. And for a woman in this world, you know, we are not protected in any way. So this was quite a proposal. But because I had come to the conclusion that I've done everything, I've gone everywhere, I've read every book, and I came to the conclusion that everybody is just inventing a god, so I'm not going to barter, and I just turned around and wanted to leave. But some voice told me, hey, you know what? You are quite stupid. Of course, I didn't want to look stupid. I said, okay, why? Give me a good reason. Yes, you pretend, you tell everybody that you've tried it all. You have looked into every religion, you've tried every philosophy, and now you're not going to try this one. So if you don't try this one, you're not going to be able to tell anymore that you tried everything. I'm in general trying to stick to the truth of things. So I felt, okay, my self-esteem was a little bit, appealed upon. And I said, all right, so I'm going to try this too. Then I can say I've tried everything. So I walked in the temple, and it was a Sunday feast. And as I am doing now, a young brahmachari was giving class. And because I've been searching for so many years, all of a sudden, within half an hour time, less than half an hour, actually 15 minutes, or less than 50 minutes, 5 minutes, actually less than 5 minutes, within 1 minute, I understood. I am getting all the answers that I've been looking for so many years. So this, I listened with rapt attention. And at the end of class, just like we're doing, going to do it here, we were asked any questions, and so I raised my hand, and I had a question. Just to make the story a little bit, we all learn from Radhanath Swami how to tell nice stories, so I'm going to try to make this story nice. I've been talking to my husband about it, that we've got to learn from Radhanath Swami how to tell stories in such a way that they are interesting. So here I was, this young lady coming in, you know, long open hair, mini skirts, big high heels, big long nails, how it looks like. So here this young girl is asking the question. So the question was, what do I have to do to stay here? Yeah, you already reacted. So the answer was, we don't take girls. So for a moment there was a silence, and then my answer was, well, I'm sorry for you, but I'm not leaving. Yes, you can imagine, I just explained. I've been looking for a long time. And as a young girl, I took a lot of trouble upon myself. As a matter of fact, so many devotees are asking me to write a book. But then when I read Radhanath Swami's books, I found out that I don't need to write a book, because he wrote it all. It's all in his book. So I don't need to repeat the same trip to India. Of course, I'm not trying to compare myself to him. But, the same trip, the same search, the same questions, the same everything. And here I was in the backyard of my hometown in Berlin, in the temple. I'm getting all these answers that I've been looking for a lifetime. So I was not going to get scared off by some brahmachari telling me, we don't take girls. So I said, well, too bad for you, because I'm not leaving. So because there was no place to stay, I had to sleep on the staircase. And the next day, they all sent me out on Sankirtan with the one sari that they had, they used to wipe the floor with. So this is the sari I wore. And I had to wear some slippers, and they sent me out on Sankirtan. I will spare you the rest of the story, because here we want to talk about Mother Yasoda and Krishna. But why I'm telling you all this is that before we actually come to the point of Mother Yasoda simply accepting that Krishna is her child, and that she looks after him with love and devotion, and she is all day long worried about after his well-being. Before we actually arrive at the point of accepting that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he is acting just like a child, and that we can accept this fact, we are coming from a long, long, long ways, many, many lifetimes of search after God, and trying to understand not this, not this, not this, not this. And we conclude at the end, God doesn't exist. There is not good, not this, not this, not this. And because even the religions out there, they are to be respected and wonderful, and a sincere seeker will attain the supreme answers and the supreme bhakti. Still, practically speaking, Krishna consciousness is the only religion that really gives so many details about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the answers that I had when I was in the Sahara at 12 years old, they got answered over time. Each single answer, where he lives, what he does, who his friends are, what he dresses every day, what he eats every day. We are the only ones. And of course, it is very difficult for someone who came to the conclusion either that there is no God, or that God, like it says here, is the heaviest of all things. It's very difficult to accept that this is God as a fact. Very difficult. So everyone is going through all the different forms of lives in this universe, actually in quest of these answers. And because we are not capable of believing that this is God, that actually for one who is sincerely asking the question of God, the answer is guaranteed. He will get the answer. And this is the answer. But for one who is maybe speculating and asking so many questions, but are not at heart really sincerely asking the question, he will be led to so many answers and so many more questions, and even standing maybe in front of Krishna and seeing his devotees and seeing him on the altar and seeing his books and hearing about, talking about him and hearing all the stories about Mother Yasoda and all his devotees, still they will doubt, this can't be God. That's not, how is it possible? God must be something else, something, yes. They think God is impersonal. We can understand God is great. He is all powerful. He is all this and that, all merciful, all this and that. And as soon as we give God a form, then we think that can't be. Because we are reducing God to our own selves. Actually, there are enough yogis that are trying to explain to us that actually we are God. We just forgot it, and we just sit long enough in meditation, we will realize that we are God. Yeah. For those who went this path, I think it's a very sad answer, because I got this answer too. And I thought, if I'm God, then I'm sorry. But this is a very poor God, a Dhira Narayan, who even in the scriptures, it talks about not Narayan, like Mother Yasoda here. She goes to Narayan to ask for Krishna's protection. But in the Bhagavatam, it's talking about Dhira Narayan, the poor Narayan, those who think that they are God. And it's just a matter of time. Just like the whole West civilization, they are promising something in the future that is going to be in the future. In the future, we are going to be able to overcome death. in the future, it's just a matter of time to find out which gene is actually the cause of death. And as soon as we found the gene who is cause of death and we remove it, we will be free of death. But even that is explained in the Bhagavatam. When Hiranyakashipu went to Lord Brahma and asked him for being deathless eternally and live eternally, Brahma told him, I'm sorry. There's only one person in this universe who is free of death, and this is God. Nobody else is free of it. Some, they may have a long life, a short life, but everyone has to die. So Hiranyakashipu thought, okay, I'm going to trick Brahma. I know I can be, I can live forever. So he asked all these different boons, each single boons that they could think of. And he was granted, Lord Brahma granted him every single boon. So Hiranyakashipu's conclusion was, now I can live eternally because nobody can kill me. And what happened? We all know the stories. Krishna appeared as Lord Nrisimhadev, a form that Hiranyakashipu could not even conceive of. And this way, Krishna killed him just like that, just like a little mouse, without even breaking any one of the boons that he was given. So Krishna had a form that no one in this universe could think of and killed Hiranyakashipu without breaking a single boon. This is his power. Inconceivable. So for us, it is also important, because we are such impersonalists, it is important to understand this is the necessity of Bhagavatam, and this is why also it is only in the 10th canto that we begin to hear about Krishna's pastimes. And it took all these other cantos, books after books after books after books, for us to understand how great God actually is, how powerful He is, how He is really the creator of this universe, the maintainer of this universe, and ultimately the destroyer of this universe. And that this universe is going through all these different cycles, and again and again and again eternally. And thus this universe is eternally expanding, inconceivably expanding. We cannot even imagine, we cannot even understand this one little thing that happened on this earth planet that is compared to a grain of sand on the beach. Just this planet we cannot understand. We cannot even understand our own bodies that we are seeing every day, we cannot understand. We don't understand a drop of milk or a drop of water or a tiny thing like a mosquito, we cannot understand. So what to speak of the greatness of God? And for us, it is very important to come to the conclusion that even though the Bhagavatam is so full of so many informations about God, still at the end of the day, I have to admit that God is so great that I cannot conceive of it. I cannot really understand how great He is. And then by understanding this and coming to that point of greatness and that point of helplessness, only then something happens to us that we become actually very humble. And this is the first step necessary to begin to understand Krishna, how Krishna is God, how great He is through His universal form, and at the same time, beyond that even, how great He is that actually God does not need to be busy in this material universe, but actually can spend His time just enjoying Himself in the spiritual world and playing around like a little child, giving joy to His devotees. And all this He is doing just like that, just like He raised the Govardhan Hill on His little pinky. Just like that, the whole universe is going on and on while He is playing, and while Mother Yasoda is so worried about Him. So on that particular day, Mother Yasoda felt this extreme heaviness, and Prabhupada says that because she is in this yoga maya, she doesn't realize that this is quite normal, that Krishna can be so heavy because he is the supreme heaviness. So she is kind of feeling this heaviness and puts Krishna down. And while Krishna was put down, this big whirlwind demon came and took Krishna away. So how is that possible? Already that he came and was able to be taken away shows of Krishna's wonderful pastime. Krishna had fun. He thinks it's very, you know, when you take a child and you throw him in the air, the child laughs and giggles like anything. And while the daddy is throwing the child in the air and the child is having fun, the mother is looking and saying, oh, watch out, be careful that you catch him, that he's not going to fall or hit the ceiling or something. And she's completely worried about it. So in the same way, Mother Yasoda is completely worried to see that Krishna is being carried away. But then the whirlwind makes so much dust that actually the whole of Vrindavan is covered with dust. And nobody could see even Krishna anymore, and he was gone, covered. And you can imagine how much worry and pain, everybody yelling, screaming, crying, that Krishna is gone. And Trinavarta is carrying Krishna away, and for a moment, he was in the illusion, just like I explained before, that we are all in illusion, that actually he is so powerful, and he is going to carry baby Krishna away on the order of Kamsa. Yes, but Krishna for a moment let this illusion happen because he was having a great ride. And then eventually Krishna became very heavy. And Trinavarta, the whirlwind, we know the cyclones and all the tornadoes nowadays, we have them, they are so powerful, they can destroy everything on their way. But still, all of a sudden, even Trinavarta, the whirlwind, was feeling all Krishna's heaviness. And because he was feeling so much heaviness, he felt that he was losing his power. So he was trying to get rid of Krishna and dropping off. But Krishna, a little baby, he was holding on to the whirlwind because if he doesn't hold on to the whirlwind, he will drop off. So Trinavarta couldn't get rid of Krishna. And he couldn't, and he was subjected to his heaviness so much so that all of a sudden he dropped on the ground and gave up his life. At that moment, all the gopis came running and took baby Krishna away and carried baby Krishna back to Mother Yasoda. And of course, Mother Yasoda, she is very happy to see that baby Krishna is now safe in her lap. But she is completely worried, oh my God, what happened to him? And all the little cowherd boys who saw all this happening, they came running to Mother Yasoda, and while Mother Yasoda was completely lamenting and worried about Krishna's safety, the cowherd boys, they wanted to tell her what they actually saw. They actually saw what happened, that all this didn't happen because Trinavarta did anything. They saw this happen because Krishna actually caused Trinavarta to fall down and give up his life. But Mother Yasoda, she was so involved in her worries about her baby Krishna that she didn't hear it. She couldn't listen. She didn't want to hear all this. So her worry was that she had to go and get the brahmana to give some blessings to her baby Krishna. You know how it is when a swami comes or a guru comes, or a very important personality comes, everybody, all the mothers, they come with their babies and ask, please bless my child. Because every parent is completely worried about the welfare of the child. So Mother Yasoda did two things. She was getting the brahmanas to have prepare a ceremony for his shelter, and at the same time she was praying to Narayan, because Narayan, for her, Narayan was God, and for her, baby Krishna was just a baby. So this is the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And at the same time, this, like I said, why this text is so important is because it shows us also for us At the beginning, we are looking for the absolute truth, and we first have to understand the absolute truth. But then eventually, once we come closer to Krishna and we accept that Krishna is God, we are simply diving in His wonderful childhood pastimes and His youthful pastimes and in all His pastimes. And this is what is satisfying the heart of the devotees. So this is why also I wanted to say you are so lucky in Chopati is because you have such a wonderful storyteller like Radhanath Swami. But it takes two things to make it possible: a very wonderful storyteller and also a quality from your part to listen and to hear, the simplicity of heart to listen and to hear. And this combination of two things, a good speaker and a good listener, makes it possible that this wonderful dynamic of the Krishna consciousness can take place in this wonderful place. So I thank you very much for being so attentive. And now I don't know what time it is. Yes, do we have maybe time for questions or some more, maybe some correction or some addition? Maybe Chakravarti also would like to come forward and maybe say something also. So maybe some question first. Don't be shy. Yes, please. This is a long question. Usually the questions are short and the answers are very long. But if the question is already that long, so please make it short.
Yes, I have an appreciation for Prabhupada.
Okay.
He compares with one story wherein one farmer, he gets one diamond in his
yes.
hand. Getting the fruits.
Okay.
So one intelligent person was passing by and he said that don't throw this diamond to get the fruits. You can get everything by this diamond.
Yeah.
So similarly he said that Prabhupada, in all of our life, he tells everyone that use everything but don't use this life for getting some cheap things.
Yes.
Use it and give it to me and I will give you the best thing.
Yes, thank you for this wonderful story. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So Chakravarti, would you like to come? It's pretty, but we have another, I understand, until 9:15, so 5 minutes more.
So I won't make it very long, maybe just a few thoughts that I had when I was hearing or reading this verse. We heard that, can you take it a little bit more back, please? We heard that Mother Yasoda, at one point, suddenly she felt that heaviness of Krishna in her lap. Krishna was in her lap and Krishna became so heavy, like it's described, that he became as heavy as the entire universe. So naturally, being an ordinary or extraordinary woman, she could not hold the weight of Sri Krishna on her lap. He was pressing her thighs and her legs. And so she finally had to put him down, even though she as a mother at that time, it described it was just one day before Krishna's first birthday, this incident took place. So Krishna was just a tiny little baby. And she had to put him on the ground, which she reluctantly did, but she couldn't hold the weight. And then it says, seeing this phenomena, she knew something extraordinary was going to take place, and like Mother Dinashana explained, the mother's natural tendency is to be in anxiety about the safety of the child. That's the natural feeling, expression of love for a mother, especially for a little child. So seeing this, being worried, she called for the help of Brahmanas to make some arrangement for auspiciousness, and herself she called upon the name of Narayan for safety. And then it's an interesting thing also, then after she did this, she carried on with her household duties. She tried to carry on with her household duties as good as she could. So this is actually very instructive, I thought, because if we are coming to Krishna consciousness, we may not be in the level of Mother Yasoda. But we have, especially in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is very kind to us to give us some experience of, how to say, like she said, immediate recognition that this is, now I have found all the answers to my questions and I have come where I always wanted to be. I have arrived where I've always wanted to be. And we feel the joy in our heart of coming to this resting place, so to say, this shelter that Krishna consciousness and being connected with the devotees and being connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead may give us. It's a very, very extreme great relief. Like she said, we have been toiling in this material world for so many births, actually always looking for that shelter of the presence of the Supreme Lord. And when we finally get it, we are so relieved. Consciously or unconsciously, we feel that. So many devotees are like, I have that experience myself. So many other devotees I've talked to had the same experience. It's an instant recognition. The first, like she said, the first minute you have that feeling. And that period lasts for a certain amount of time, but there's also another side to the story. Because as our faith develops, our love develops, we have to expect that our love and our faith will be tested. It is not simply Krishna's cruelty that he's putting us through difficulties, but it is simply a measure or a means to increase our love and to increase our faith ultimately in him. So just like Lord Chaitanya, it's not by accident that he's putting this verse, important verse in his Trikshastaka, the last verse, where he says, you may make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, or you may crush me by your embrace. Still will you remain always my only worshipable Lord. So like I said, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we may have lots of these very, very joyful, uplifting experiences, but also expect that somewhere down the line in your spiritual life, in your spiritual journey, there will be times where your faith will be tested, where you feel the heaviness of Krishna. Guru means heavy. So Krishna is Param Guru. He is the Supreme Guru. So this heaviness may also come. And where we suddenly feel, what happened to me? Where's my faith gone? Where's all my inspiration gone? Where's my joy that I experienced for so many years or so much, for such a long time in Krishna consciousness? Why is it not there anymore? Or we may have some other kind of difficulty, maybe some health problems, or some other serious condition that is bothering us, and where there will be opportunity for doubt and for questioning again. And of course,
we have seen in this story, this is very instructive, two different personalities reacting to Krishna's heaviness. Trinavata was also experiencing the heaviness of Krishna as a Rogan. When Krishna, first he allowed himself to be carried up in the air, and then again Krishna manifested his potency of heaviness, the supreme heavy, heavier than the heaviest, smaller than the smallest. He can do all these things very easily. So because Trinavata was a demon, instead of taking shelter, he was actually fighting against that heaviness of Krishna. He was putting up a fight. He was putting up a battle. He tried to extend his own strength and put that strength against Krishna's might, Krishna's heaviness. But of course, ultimately, there was nothing that he could put against Krishna. There's a saying, one whom God wants to protect, nothing can kill, no one can kill. And one whom God wants to kill, no one or nothing can protect. This is the situation. So Trinavata, he was fighting a losing battle because his attitude was enviousness and rejection of the supreme personality of God. And that's a demoniac quality as we describe it. But Mother Yasoda, she also experienced Krishna's heaviness. So she didn't fight, but she called on Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And she called upon the help of the Brahmanas to be with her in this situation. So when we come in, whenever we will feel that type of situation, and be rest assured it will come. There's no way around it, because it is practically one of the most significant means for us to become more and really deeply connected with the Supreme Lord. Because at one point, one of the most dangerous things in spiritual life is not that we actually turn away from spiritual life, but the most dangerous thing in spiritual life is complacency. That we come, at one point, we become satisfied with the level of progress, spiritual progress that we have made, and we become complacent, and we lose the urgency of striving for the supreme goal. We are satisfied with the nice prasadam that we get. We are satisfied with the nice or comfortable or, let's say, acceptably comfortable setting that we live in. We are satisfied with our daily routine, and our striving, our urge, our enthusiasm to go further and further and further and further to progress until we reach the ultimate goal, it stops. We become complacent. That's the most dangerous thing in spiritual life. So for this, Krishna has its countermeasures. And this countermeasure is that he doesn't allow us forever to remain in this complacency, in this complacent stage. Then he will create some kind of situation where we'll be out of sudden, we will feel some remorse, some heaviness in our heart, you know, and we will wonder where it is coming from. So at that time, we should remember this story and how Mother Yasoda reacted when she felt that. It's very instructive. She called upon the Brahmanas. In our case, we might say, we just like yesterday, we were reading this in Govardhan, yeah. In the Bhagavatam, it was explained in the chapter where Maharaj Parikshit is cursed. There Srila Prabhupada commented in the purport, not only the Sringi, the small Brahmin boy, the son of Shamika, he had the potency to bless or to curse, but Srila Prabhupada said, every devotee, even though he may not be a Brahmana, he has more power to bless, or even also the power to curse, than a powerful Brahmana. So, in our case, we may not call a Brahmana when we are in difficulty, in spiritual difficulty, when we feel that, but we should call upon the help of other devotees, especially senior devotees, our spiritual master, or those who have progressed on the spiritual path. We should take their help. We should consult with them. We should beg them, please help me. I am in this condition. And at the same time, as Mother Yasoda did, with an earnest way, call out the name of the Lord, Narayan, Narayan, or we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Rama. So this is the shelter that we should seek when this phase of our spiritual development comes. We should take more shelter in chanting the holy name with like a real earnest heart. Srila Prabhupada one time, he made this speech about the significance of the Hare Krishna mantra. It was actually one of the first recordings ever made by Srila Prabhupada. Even long before there were cassette recorders, there was this record album made in New York, I think in 1968, one of the first recordings. And Srila Prabhupada made this Hare Krishna mantra address. So in there he compared the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra with the anxious cry of a baby child for the shelter of its mother. This is how we should chant. Like sometimes you may see a little child get lost in, like for example in a supermarket, the mother is busy trying on some new sari or some new clothes or whatever, and out of sudden the mother has been so immersed in shopping that she has forgotten about her little child, and the child doesn't know where the mother is. So what does the child do as she feels? It's an existential fear that the child experiences when out of sudden it has lost the shelter, the connection with its mother. It will call mother, 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 like tears streaming down its eyes. So Srila Prabhupada compares this eager crying of a child for the shelter, for the protection of his mother, or its mother, that in this way we should call upon the name of the Lord when we chant Hare Krishna. This is our position. We are lost in this world. We have lost the connection with our Father and Supreme Father and our Supreme Mother, and we should call upon Him in this attitude. And like I said, these two methods are there when our faith will be tested, when we go through some hardship, when we feel some heaviness or some depression in our heart, then we should seek the shelter of the devotees who can encourage us, who can strengthen or restore our faith. And with real earnestness, we should call upon the name of the Lord to regain the shelter that we may have lost for some time. This is the lesson that I personally take out of this story. So maybe, like I said, if you ever experience this, I have experienced this many times in my 41 years of Krishna consciousness. It has not all been eating pie. It goes up and down. You know, spiritual life is not a straight line. It is like there are valleys and peaks. And when you are in the valley, then take the help of devotees and call upon the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, I can only confirm what Chakravarti Prabhu said. And really, Krishna is testing us to the very core of ourselves. Whatever illusions we have still within us, He is going to make sure. And believe me, He does not put gloves on to deal with us. But we also have to understand that He is never going to give us more than we can take. So even though at the same time, He is not going to give us more than we can take, but at the same time, He has to bring us to the limits that we think that this is more than we can take to do a good job of it. So, as He said, be ready. It's okay.
Hare Krishna. We would like to express our gratitude to both His Grace Chakravarti Prabhu and Dinesharana Mataji. As I was watching from behind, it looked as if Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai have come to lovingly offer Krishna to all the baby cowherd men here. And while Dinesharana Mataji's presentation was making it so light and sweet, she was just throwing Krishna up and catching. Chakravarti Prabhu's presentation gave the heaviness part, made us really heavy to keep Krishna down. But then back again, she gave us the assurance that don't worry, won't test us beyond. And in this way, now the weight is perfectly balanced. So I really would like to thank both of them for being kind upon us and sharing their years and years of practical guidance in Krishna consciousness and inspiring us. Thank you so much. We would like to express our gratitude in our traditional style. Rio! 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 Thank you very much.